The Act did what? Further, it ensures stringent punishment for environmental offenders, enabled delegated legislation on sensitive ecological issues, encourages sustainable development, balancing growth with environmental care. Need for the Environment Protection Act in India? The Stockholm Conference, which highlighted internationally the impact human activities were having on the environment, bringing into focus urgency of reconciliation for the benefit of humanity and the planet as a whole. The Bhopal gas tragedy was the biggest example. The Environment Protection Act 1986 was mainly to ensure stringent punishment for environmental offenders, enable delegated legislation on sensitive ecological issues, encourage sustainable development, balancing growth with environmental care. Each of us in the world, each of the countries are looking for development, but then we should look at sustainable development, balancing growth with environment care. And this is what this act was as an objective. Need for the Environment Act. The Stockholm Conference highlighted internationally the impact human activities were having on the environment, bringing into focus urgency of reconciliation for the benefit of humanity and the planet. However, it was the Bhopal gas tragedy which was set as an example for India to take up this Environment Act. Why is Environment Act called an umbrella act? Called an umbrella act because of the following reasons. Establishes a framework for large-scale environment strategies. Coordinates efforts between the central state governments and existing environmental authorities. Over a period of time, there has been a lot many acts that have, lot many environmental authorities and agencies that have come up. However, there required one act to act as an umbrella act over all these acts and bring them under one umbrella. And hence, this act is known as the Umbrella Act. It establishes a framework for large-scale environmental strategies and coordinates efforts between the central state governments and all existing environmental authorities. It bridges gaps left by previous laws like the Water and Air Acts, enhancing their effectiveness. A comprehensive law detailing the responsibilities, powers, and penalties related to environmental protection. So besides looking after the being an umbrella act, what does it do? It bridges the gaps left by previous laws like the Air Act and the Water Acts, enhancing their effectiveness. A comprehensive law detailing the responsibilities, powers, and penalties related to environment protection is also considered. The Environment Protection Act 1986, the EIA Act in India began in 1976-77, assessing river valley projects. With the Environment Protection Act 1986, Environment Improvement Act became mandatory for 30 activities, and the Ministry of Environment and Forest became responsible for granting clearances. The notification was revised in 2006. The Environment Protection Act in India, EIA, in India began in 1976-77, assessing water valley projects. With the Environment Protection Act 1986, EIA became mandatory for 30 activities, and the Ministry of Environment and Forest became responsible for granting clearances. The notification was revised in 2006. Section 2 defined various terms used in its provisions. These definitions are as follows. Environment includes air, water, land, and their relationship with living beings and property. Environment pollutant, any substance that harms the environment at certain concentrations. Environment pollution, the presence of pollutants is in the environment. Handling includes manufacture, treatment, storage, transportation, use, sale, and disposal of substances. What we see here now in the Environment Protection Act of 1986 is a certain definition and a certain structure provided to the Act. Section 2 defined various terms used in its provisions. These definitions are as follows. And the environment is defined as everything, air, water, land, and their relationships with living beings and property. Environment pollutant. What is an environment pollutant? Any substance that harms the environment at certain concentrations. The presence of pollutants in the environment is an environment pollution. Handling includes what? Handling of pollutants or handling is described as manufacture, treatment, storage, transportation, use, sale and disposal of substances. Hazardous substance, any substance harmful to human, animals, plants or the environment. Occupier, the person in control of a factory or holding a hazardous substance. Environment includes air, water, land and their relationship with living beings. Government powers, section 3, can take measures to protect, improve the environment and control pollution. Going further with the definition of the terms under the Environment Protection Act of 1986, what is a hazardous substance? Any substance harmful to humans, animals, plants or the environment. Who is an occupier? The person in control of a factory or holding a hazardous substance. Environment. Environment includes air, water and land and their relationships with living beings. Government powers are defined under section 3, can take measures to protect, improve the environment and control pollution. Some of the measures that the government takes are coordinate actions among state governments, officers and authorities, plan and execute nationwide programs, set quality standards for environmental aspects, set standards for pollutant emissions or discharge, restrict certain industries or operations in specific areas. What does the Environment Act of 1986 cover further and give authority to the government? Or give powers to the government? Some of these measures include coordinate actions among state governments, officers and authorities. So now the central government can coordinate actions among the state governments, their officers and authorities. Plan and execute nationwide programs. Set quality standards for environmental aspects all across applicable across the country. Set standards for pollutant emissions or discharge. Again, all these standards are set across the country. Restrict certain industries or operations in specific areas. So the central government can now restrict certain industries or operations in specific areas which are likely to harm the environment. Going further, establish procedures and safeguards for preventing pollution causing accidents and remedial measures. So the central government is also responsible to establish procedures and safeguards for preventing pollution causing accidents, which means that there is a prevention and other procedures available today to which can be established to ensure that pollution causing accidents can be minimized or eliminated. Establish procedures and safeguards for handling hazardous substances. There are specific guidelines that have been established with procedures as to how to handle hazardous substances and safeguard the environment. Some of the other measures include examine processes, review pollution causing materials, research, sponsor pollution investigations, inspect, monitor plants and equipment, labs, set up environment research facilities, information, share pollution data, guidelines, create pollution control manuals. The Environment Act of Protection Act of 1986 goes further and defines some more measures which include examine procedures, process, review pollution causing materials, which means the state government, the central government has the authority now to examine and review pollution causing materials, research, sponsor pollution investigations, monitor, by inspect they mean monitor plants and equipment. Labs, set up environmental research facilities, information, share pollution data, and guidelines to create pollution control manuals. Address other matters deemed necessary by the government. The central government may constitute an authority to exercise delegated powers and functions. Power to appoint officers Section 4. The central government may appoint officers with designations, powers and functions as it thinks fit. The officers appointed shall be under the control and direction of the government or any authority empowered by it. The Environment Protection Act of 1986 further addresses other matters deemed necessary by the government. The central government may constitute an authority to exercise delegated powers and functions. Power to appoint officers. The central government under Section 4 can appoint officers with designations, powers and functions as it thinks fit, and these officers shall be under the control and direction of the government or any other authority that the government has empowered. Power to give directions. Section 5. The central government can issue binding directions to individuals, officers or authorities. 2. Close, prohibit or regulate industries, operations or processes. Stop or regulate the supply of services like electricity or power. Power to lay down rules to regulate environmental pollution. Section 6. The central government can frame rules to regulate environment pollution, including standards for air, water and soil quality, maximum allowable limits for pollutants, including noise. What are the other powers to give directions given to the central government? Under Section 5, the central government can issue binding directions to individuals, officers or authorities, which means that the central government can now empower officers, individuals or authorities to close, prohibit or regulate industries, operations or processes. Stop or regulate the supply of services like electricity or water. So if there are non-compliant companies or establishments, if they are prohibited but still continue with their operations, then the supply of services like electricity or water can be regulated or stopped. Power to lay down rules to regulate environment pollution. Section 6 covers the state government. The central government can frame rules to regulate environmental pollution, including standards, set up standards, air, water and soil quality, maximum allowable limits for pollutants, including noise. One example of these standards is the strict automobile emission norms that have been enforced and are being followed by all multinational manufacturers of automobiles in India. Then, further, the power to give directions, procedures and safeguards for handling hazardous substances, prohibition and restrictions on handling hazardous substances, prohibition and restrictions on the location of industries and operations, procedures and safeguards for preventing pollution causing accidents and remedial measures. The Act gives power to give directions for procedures and safeguards for handling hazardous substances, prohibition and restrictions on handling hazardous substances. That means what is acceptable, what is restricted is defined in terms of handling hazardous substances. Prohibition and restrictions on the location of industries and operations. Procedures and safeguards for preventing pollution causing accidents and remedial measures if they cannot be avoided. Power of entry and inspection. Section 10. Any person authorized by the central government has the right to enter any place at reasonable times with some assistance for the following purposes: perform functions entrusted by the government, determine compliance with the Act, rules and orders, examine and test equipment, plants, records and documents, conduct searches in premises where an offence is suspected. Further, the Environment Protection Act of 1986 gives power of entry and inspection. Section 10 defines that any person authorized by the central government has the right to enter any place at reasonable times with some assistance for the following purposes: perform functions entrusted by the government, determine compliance with the Act, rules and the orders, examine and test equipment, plants, records and documents, conduct searches in premises where an offense is suspected. Further power that is given or offered is seize equipment, records or materials if they serve as evidence or needed to mitigate pollution. Any person in charge of an industry or operation involving hazardous substances must assist the empowered inspection officer. Failure to do so or obstructing the inspection is an offence, punishable under the provisions of the Code of Criminal Procedure 1973 or an applicable law. So what we are saying is that the authorized person is further given authority to seize equipment, records or materials if they serve as evidence or are needed to mitigate pollution. Maybe there is information as to what is contained in the pollutant or in the air emissions, and that information can be used to mitigate further pollution. Any person in charge of an industry or operation involving hazardous substances is required or is necessarily required to assist the empowered inspection officer. Any failure to do so or obstructing the inspection is an offence, punishable under the provisions of the Code of Criminal Procedure or any applicable law, which means that there can be criminal proceedings initiated against him for non-cooperation. The inspection officer further has the power to take sample and procedure to be followed. Section 11 empowers the state government or an officer authorized by it to take samples of air, water, soil or other substances from the premises of any factory. The procedure prescribed for taking samples is as follows. The person taking the sample must notify the person in charge. The sample must be taken in the presence of the person in charge or their agent. The sample must be sealed, marked and signed by both parties. Section 12, container must be sent to the laboratory established. Thus, inspection officer is further given the power to take samples and the procedure to be followed is as follows. Section 11 covers the procedure to be followed. It empowers the state government or an officer authorized by it to take samples of air, water, soil or other substances from the premises of any factory. The procedure prescribed for taking sample is the person taking the sample must first notify the person in charge. The sample must be taken in the presence of the person in charge or his representative or agent. The sample must be sealed and marked and signed by both parties as per section 12. And the container must be sent to the laboratory, to the established laboratory for testing. If the person in charge refuses to sign or is absent, the sampler must seal, mark and sign the containers and send them to the laboratory and inform the analyst in writing. Samples not taken as per procedure are inadmissible as evidence in legal proceedings. So it is clear that if the person in charge refuses to sign or is absent, or the agent who is present there refuses to sign the sample, the sampler must seal, mark and sign the containers, send them to the laboratory and inform the analyst in writing. Samples not taken as per the procedure are inadmissible as evidence in legal proceedings. Power to ask for information, reports or returns. Section 20 offers the central government authority to request for reports, returns, statistics, accounts and other information from any person, officer, state government or authority, and they are required to comply. So the section 20 of the act gives powers to ask for information to the central government. Now the central government can request for reports, statistics, accounts, any other information from any person, officer, state government or authority, and the concerned person or company needs to comply to it. The power to delegate. Section 23. The central government may delegate its powers under the act except for appointing authorities and rulemaking to officers, state governments or authorities subject to specified conditions in the official gazette notification. The Environment Protection Act 1986 gives power to delegate. Section 23 of the Act says that the central government may delegate its powers under the Act except for appointing authorities, which means that the authority for appointing authorities, the power to appoint authorities cannot be delegated, and the power to rulemaking under Section 25 also cannot be delegated to officers, state governments or authorities subject to specified conditions in the Official Gazette notification, which means that the powers which are delegated are subject to the specified conditions in the Official Gazette. Power to make rules. Section 25, the central government may frame rules on Section 7, pollutant emission standards. Section 8, handling of hazardous substances. There is also authority for excess discharge as prescribed. But before we get into it, let's understand the power to make rules. Section 25 offers the central government the authority to make rules on Section 7, that is pollutant emission standards, and Section 8, handling of hazardous substances. There is also authority for excess discharge as prescribed. What is this? Section 11, subclause 1 says sample collection procedure is defined. Section 11, clause 3a, notice form for samples, environmental labs, functions and fees. Section 13, government analyst qualifications. Section 19b, offence notice procedure. Section 20, authority to report to central government other prescribed matters. So the authority for excess discharge is as prescribed, which is that of the government analysts or the state government. Sample collection, section 11, clause 1, defines the sample collection procedure. Section 11, clause 3a, notice form for samples. That means if samples are to be collected, what should be the way the notices are to be given. Also, the environmental labs, their functions and their fees is all described under section 11.3a. Under section 13, government analyst qualifications are defined. So it is very clear who can be an analyst for these environmental labs. Section 19b, offence notice procedure, which means that an offence is noticed. What is the notice to be given to the company or to the pollutant and the procedure to be followed? Section 20, authority to report to central government other prescribed matters. Section 20 covers the authority to report to central government as per whatever are the findings or the analyst reports and other prescribed matters. The Environment Protection Act of 1986 also covers prevention, control and abatement of environmental pollution. Section 7, no discharge of pollutants beyond prescribed limits, handling hazardous substances. Section 8, follow prescribed procedures for handling hazardous substances. As we understand, the Environment Protection Act is pretty serious and wants to ensure that there is a provision made for prevention, control and abatement of environmental pollution. Section 7 of the Act describes that there shall be no discharge of pollutants beyond prescribed limits. Section 8 describes how handling hazardous substances is to be done. Follow the prescribed procedures for handling hazardous substances, which is detailed under Section 8. Penal provisions under the Environment Protection Act. Every act which has been enforced or is to be enacted has to have penalties and the punishments that are for the violators. Section 15 of this Act covers the aspect here. Penalty for offences includes up to 5 years imprisonment, ₹1 lakh fine or both. If continued, an additional 5,000 per day fine. If beyond 1 year, imprisonment can extend to 7 years. We all understand that there need to be penalties for offences, and these include up to 5 years imprisonment with 1 lakh fine or both. If continued, an additional ₹5,000 per day fine. If beyond 1 year, imprisonment can extend to 7 years. Offenses by companies. Section 16. The person in charge and the company are responsible for offenses. If an officer's negligence caused the offense, they are liable unless due diligence or lack of knowledge is proven. Company includes corporations, firms or associations, and directors refers to a partner in a firm. So what are the offenses defined by offenses by companies defined under the Environment Protection Act? Section 16 covers that the person in charge and the company are both responsible for the offenses. If an officer's negligence caused the offense, they are liable for punishment unless they prove that due diligence was completed to prevent the accident or lack of knowledge is proven. In this case, a company is defined as corporations, firms or associations, and a director is referred to as a partner in a firm. Offenses by government departments. Section 17 covers offenses by government departments. The head of a government department is responsible for offenses unless they prove lack of knowledge or due diligence. If another officer caused the offense, they will be held accountable. So, like the other acts, offenses by government departments are also considered here, and Section 17 specifies that the head of a government department is responsible for the offenses unless they prove lack of knowledge or due diligence. If another officer caused the offense, then he will be held accountable. Appeal to National Green Tribunal. Section 5A. Aggrieved persons can appeal to the National Green Tribunal against decisions under Section 31. Bar of Jurisdiction. Section 22. Civil courts cannot hear cases related to actions or directions under this Act. Appeal to National Green Tribunal. Any aggrieved person under Section 5A can appeal to the National Green Tribunal against decisions under Section 31. Bar of Jurisdiction. Section 22. No civil courts can hear cases related to actions or directions under this Act. Benefits of the Environment Protection Act. Following are some of the benefits of having the Act. Protects public health. Promotes sustainable development. Empowers central government. Let's look at it in detail. There are certain benefits of the Environment Protection Act, which is obvious, and that was the reason that the Act was enacted in the first place. It protects public health, prevents and controls pollution, ensuring a clean environment and safeguarding public health. Promotes sustainable development, which is necessary for the country. So what the Act is doing is it preserves natural resources for future generations. Empowers central government, grants power to appoint authorities and take protective measures to the central government. There are strict penal provisions also provided by the Act as a benefit. The Act imposes penalties for violations and holds companies and government departments accountable for pollution. Protecting ecological integrity. The Act enforces penalties and mandates government action to preserve the environment in its natural state. Strict penal provisions. For the first time, we see that the amounts and the penalties are pretty high as compared to the other acts that were in force earlier. The Act imposes penalties for violations and holds companies and government departments accountable for pollution. Protecting ecological integrity. The Act enforces penalties and mandates government action to preserve the environment in its natural state. Thank you.